السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وعترته وأهل بيته. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد. The definition of the word love is an intense emotional attachment, an involvement of the heart. This emotional attachment can attach itself to a number of things. What it attaches itself to, the heart, through love, can either be infinite, unlimited, or it can be finite and limited. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the process of love as tranquility and emotional shelter. In Surah Ar-Rum, chapter number 30, verse number 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. He says, among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter number 30, God speaks of His signs, His important signs. He says, among His signs is that He has created amongst yourselves pairs, spouses, husbands and wives. For what purpose? What purpose do these spouses serve? They are emotional shelter for you. So when the heart attaches itself to someone, that person becomes a source of emotional shelter. Now, they can either be a source of suffering and torture, or they could be a source of satisfaction, gratification, euphoria, and comfort. It is what you make out of it. One cannot say that you should not get married at all. Completely neglect marriage. Put it on the back burner. Completely abandon the idea of marriage. Why? Because you can get hurt. If you give your heart to someone, people change and, you know, people may betray you if you trust them with your heart. That's not an excuse. If a person does not fear God, we'll get to that. If a person does not fear God, then yes, that possibility exists. But if a person is God-fearing, if he is pious, then that excuse does not exist and it is not valid. So love can either be a source of happiness, of content, satisfaction, euphoria and comfort, or it can be a source of torture. It can be a source of suffering. It can be a source of torment. And this torment, or this comfort and this satisfaction, does not only rest in the heart. It is true that its source and its center revolves around the heart. However, it has been proven that when a person feels emotional pain, or if a person feels emotional pleasure, they may, as a result of that, also feel physical pain and physical pleasure. There was a study that was done a while back which was suggesting that people who have heartaches, and these heartaches are a result of emotional pain. Sometimes when we have emotional pain, if we feel betrayed, if we feel let down, we begin to have heartaches. Or we begin to have different pains in the body. This study was suggesting that to a certain extent, not completely, but to a certain extent, taking painkillers may relieve that pain. Not absolutely, but only to a limited extent. That's because that the pain that we feel emotionally from betrayal or whatever it may be, that also has a direct link to how we feel physically as well. So our physical well-being depends on our emotional well-being. And that's why, I mean, one of the leading killers all over the world, one of the leading causes of death are heart attacks. And heart attacks are caused not only because people, you know, eat too much McDonald's and drink too much, you know, whatever it is that they drink, but it's also caused because of stress. It's caused because of pain. All of that comes from the emotional experience. It's not a physical experience. So we are required to take care of our bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to take care of our bodies. One way that we take care of our bodies is by preventing emotional pain and by seeking emotional pleasure and comfort through the legal ways, through the ways which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal for us, not through illegitimate ways. Love is accessed through legitimate means in Islam. So our hearts attach themselves to people, our hearts attach themselves to objects, and our hearts also attach themselves to the one infinite being, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now our relationship with Allah, first and foremost, before being based on fear, before being based on any other emotion that you may have, it is based on love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. He says that those who believe, who are the ones that believe? Are those who are most firm in their love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a relationship between believing in Allah and having firm love. He does not say those who believe are the ones who have firm fear, firm respect. All of that is important, but it comes secondary after love. Because fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without loving Him has no use. It's like the same way a child fears a boogeyman. When a child fears a monster hiding under the bed, that is legitimate fear. But when we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that fear is taken from love. We love Allah, we love His generosity, we love His compassion. And we fear not Him, but we fear that we may lose His mercy. We may lose that generosity and that compassion. So first and foremost, before talking about fearing God, we speak about loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's first and foremost. Now, there's a void in the human hearts which cannot be filled with anything except for the love of the Divine, except for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person whose heart is full of the love of this world, food, drink, clothing, cars, pleasure, desire, all of that, none of that will be able to fill the gap that one has in his heart when it comes to loving He who is infinite. Because loving the finite does not replace loving the infinite. So, in regards to loving other than God, when it comes to loving our family members, when it comes to loving material objects, there's two types of love. One type of love is negative and the other is positive. The negative type of love comes when you expect more from an object than it can give. So I love my car, and I love my home, and I love my pet, And that's fine, that's legitimate. However, that love is not necessarily reciprocal. The feeling is not necessarily mutual. Because when you love, you are giving a burden. You are handling what you love, a burden. That burden cannot always be handled. It cannot always be dealt with. So if I love my dog cannot love me back the same way that I love it. If I love my house, if I love my car isn't going to be able to tell me, I love you. If I say I love you to my car, it won't be able to answer I love you back, or my home. So that attachment, it's valid and it's legitimate. No one says do not love your material belongings. But it cannot be compared with the love of a human being or the love of an infinite being, where that love becomes mutual and reciprocal. I was reading a statistic one time. It was saying that a certain amount of people, they love their cars. They have an emotional attachment to their cars. So, you know, if their car gets scratched, or if their car gets hurt, or if their car gets, you know, if someone bumps into their car, or even if someone says anything about their car, they get offended because they have an emotional attachment to their car. Some people, you know, they give their car a name, the way he, you know, he touches and caresses his car. It's as if, you know, it's his wife for 20 years. So people grow emotional attachment. They're hard to get attached to materials. And that's fine. However, we must understand that whatever we love that cannot give that love back, that's a negative type of love. It's not a positive type of love. So I love my house, but my house can't love me back. I love my car cannot love me back. I love my job cannot love me back. Now what can love you back? Human beings can love you back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can love you back. That's why when it comes to our priority of whom or what should we love, our material objects should be the last thing in line, the last thing on the list. Number one, first and foremost, should be Allah. The first thing, the first being, or the only being that can truly satisfy our love when we give our love to that being gives it back is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because our needs, our spiritual needs, and our emotional needs are infinite. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only infinite being in this creation which can reciprocate those feelings and those emotions. So, that's a negative form of love. When we expect from something more than it can bear. When we expect from someone more than it can bear. Likewise, if you fall in love with someone that you should not fall in love with. If you fall in love, I won't get into details. If you fall in love with someone that you should not fall in love with, someone who cannot reciprocate those feelings, that's also a negative type of love. And that's why, and young people should take this into understanding, don't waste your time on trying to look for relationships. When you're at that age, the person that you're looking for cannot reciprocate that sort of love that you're looking for. When you're 13 or when you're 14 or when you're 15 years old, you barely know what you want in life. You cannot give your feelings, you cannot place your emotions and your feelings in the hands of a person who is the same age as you, in the same age range, who does not know how to reciprocate that love. So don't waste your time looking for love in the wrong places. This is negative love. That does not cause comfort. It doesn't cause satisfaction, euphoria, gratification. That causes nothing but pain and torment. And as I mentioned, your heart can either be a source of satisfaction and comfort, or it can be a source of pain, and it can be a source of discomfort. For those who have experienced physical pain and emotional pain, I'm sure if I asked you which is worse, physical pain or emotional pain, the answer for most people would be emotional pain. Emotional pain, it hurts deep down. There's no painkillers that you can take. There's no Advil, there's no ibuprofen, anything that you can do to cure that emotional pain. And usually emotional pain takes longer to recover from than physical pain. So we should avoid all types of negative love which cause emotional pain. Now, that's one type of love, is negative love. Another type of love is positive love. And this happens only when we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we love anything else. Before you love your wife or your husband, before you love your job, before you love your materials. No one is saying that you can't love these materials. No one is saying that you cannot love your spouse because you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we must understand that the love for Allah supersedes our love. The love for Allah supersedes the love for anything else which exists in this universe. Only when we know how to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He who is infinite, He who is generous, He who is compassionate, He who is merciful, then will we know how to love our family members. It's narrated that one day, an Imam Ali alayhi salam was speaking to his daughter, Lady Zainab alayhi salam, at a very young age. And she turned to her father and she told him, "My dear father, do you love us? Do you love your family members?" He says, "Yes, of course I love my family members." She says to him, "Don't say that you love us. Say that you have compassion and that you have mercy for us. Love is reserved only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." So true love, what we understand from this, is reserved for Allah. Anything else, the love that comes for our family, our friends, anyone else, that's secondary. It's legitimate, but it is secondary. And only true love for people can be established when we establish our true love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to looking for a partner, when it comes to looking for a husband or a wife, know that if you find a person who loves God more than you, and who loves God more than themselves, then there is nothing to fear from that person. If a person loves and fears God, you have nothing to fear from that person. But if a person does not love God and does not fear God, then you have everything to fear for that person. One day one of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to him and he told him, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you. I love you more than my family. I love you more than my wealth. I love you more than anything. There's only one thing that I love more than you, and that is myself." He says, I love myself more than I love you. So Rasulullah tells him, he says that your iman will not be faith, your iman will not be complete unless you love me more than you love your family members, more than you love your friends, and more than you love yourselves. We are taught at a young age to love the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt more than we love ourselves. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So, until here we've spoken about emotional attachment and love. When it comes to belief, emotional belief, having the heart involved is just as important as having the mind involved. Believing in the message of Islam does not only require your mind, it also requires your heart. When the Prophet Ibrahim, ala nabina wa ala alihi afdalus salatu was salam, asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to manifest his ability to bring the dead back to life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, he says to Ibrahim, "Qala awalam tu'min, do you not have iman?" "Qala bala," he replied, "yes, I do have iman." "Walakin liyatma'inna qalbi," he says that I want satisfaction, I want the satisfaction of my heart, I want conviction. He didn't speak about his brain, he didn't speak about his intellect. Logically, it made sense. Logically, the ability to bring the dead back to life made sense to him. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ People ask, well, who brings the bones back to life after they have turned into dust, after they've turned into powder, after they have ceased to exist? قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ Logically, the same person who has brought everything in this existence to life has the exact same ability to bring the dead back to life as well. That which life has been taken away from, he bestows life upon it as well. So logically it made sense to him. But he wasn't seeking his intellect. He wasn't saying, He wasn't telling God, okay, God, I want you to prove to me through analysis and through induction and through deduction and through this and that, that you have the ability to bring the dead back to life. He says, لِيَطْمَئِنَّ قَلْبِي, I want to see it with my own two eyes. He says, I want to have the satisfaction of my heart. I want my belief to be at 100% instead of 99.9%. So here he is speaking about the belief in his heart. In order for the belief to be complete, there has to be involvement of the brain, there has to be the intellect, and there has to be the heart. They don't work without each other. You can't say, okay, just have faith. When something doesn't make sense, when you reach a dead end, you say, just have faith. Just have faith that it exists. Faith is important, but there has to be logic. There has to be intellect. It has to make sense. You have to be able to connect the dots. Likewise, intellect by itself does not work. There has to be belief. There has to be an emotional attachment. And that's why in the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we support the idea of sha'a'ir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the sha'a'ir, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Those who glorify the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that is from the piety of the hearts. So what is being said here? What is being said is that you may have enthusiasm in your heart. You may have love in your heart. You may have sorrow in your heart. How do you translate that into belief? ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظَّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. شَعَائِر comes from the word شَعِيرَ. And the شَعِيرَ is a belief which exists in the heart. Different than the شِعَار. شِعَار is a slogan. شَعِيرَ is that which is in the heart. It remains in the heart. So sha'ira is the enthusiasm that you have in your heart. Sha'ar, a slogan or a logo, is the enthusiasm which you display in front of people. So a slogan or a logo, if you wear team colors for instance, you go to a football game or a soccer game and you wear the team colors, that is reflective of the enthusiasm that you have in your heart. That's referred to as a sha'ar. Sha'ira is that which is in the heart, the enthusiasm which is there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires us to have not only the intellect, not only to have the logic and the proof, but also to have the sha'ira. There has to be something in the heart, something which attaches you emotionally to the message of Islam. And when we believe in the Ahlul Bayt, when we mention their tragedies, when we mention everything that took place, the oppression and the injustices, and when we remind ourselves of that, and when we identify with them emotionally, and when we weep for them, that's all a part of our emotional attachment to the message of Islam. When I weep, for instance, for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, that's my way of expressing what is in my heart, the sha'ira which is in my heart, making that public, making that a public slogan. In that way, I have attached myself emotionally to the message of Islam, for Ahlul Bayt are the ones who manifested and embodied the entire religion of Islam. So there has to be thought, there has to be brain, there has to be logic, but there also has to be some sort of spiritual attachment. And that spiritual and emotional attachment has to be translated and it has to be manifested. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ. Say that if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying to the Prophet, tell them that if you truly love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Then follow me, Allah shall also love you. So if I want to express my love for Allah, how do I express my love for Allah? If you want to express your love for your spouse or, you know, for a partner, you give them roses, you give them chocolates, you buy them a car, you do this and you do that. How do you do that for Allah? You don't buy roses for Allah. You don't buy materials for Allah. You don't buy anything and offer it as a sacrifice to Allah. He says, if you love Allah, if you claim to truly love Him, then follow me. Follow Rasulullah and follow Ahlul Bayt. So our love, our enthusiasm, which centers in our hearts, number one, it is what allows us to complete our faith. It's not only logic, it's not only intellect, but it is what allows us to complete our faith. And number two, it has to be translated. It has to be manifested and embodied. How is it manifested and embodied? Through following in the footsteps of the prophets and following through the footsteps of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this very blessed, sacred and holy month to allow us to be among those who love Allah and be firm in our love for Allah and to truly walk in the footsteps of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asri inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil-haqi wa tawasaw bil-sabr. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا حيا قيوما ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل. It has been narrated upon the authority of the sixth imam of the school of thought of Ahlul Bayt, Al-Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salam, that he said in addressing the history of the oppression and the injustices that were done against Ahlul Bayt, he said that had Banu Umayyah not found support, they would not have committed their injustices and atrocities against us. This is the reality that we are living today of injustice and atrocities. Injustice is not committed out of the blue. It is not coincidental. Most injustices occur when the oppressor, he who is performing the injustice, finds legitimacy. He finds approval. He finds aid and support. And he finds cooperation. Today, the reality that we are living in Palestine reveals that history repeats itself. In the same way that there was support, there was cooperation, there was approval, there was aid in order to carry out the atrocities which happened against Ahlul Bayt, today you find that legitimacy, support, aid, cooperation, all of these exist when it comes to the tragic case of the people of Palestine. Today, the last Friday in the month of Ramadan, is known throughout the Islamic world and throughout even the Western world as the Day of Quds, where we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people. And this day, the Day of Friday, the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, this event, the Day of Quds, was established in the year 1979 in Iran by the late Ayatollah Imam Ruhullah Khomeini, may Allah bless his soul. And all around the Muslim world since then, it has been a practice to stand in solidarity on this day with the oppressed people of Palestine. What is important to understand is that had those who are oppressing them today, because when we speak of those who are oppressing them today, we don't point our fingers at one person. We don't point our fingers at one army, at one people. No. That army and that people, the Israeli army, the IDF, had they not had legitimacy from, number one, before the Western powers, from the so-called Islamic countries themselves, we would not see this cooperation. We would not see this tragedy. And subhanAllah, when I think to myself, I think, look at how atrocious they are, that they wait for the hardest times. They wait for the month of Ramadan, when they know people are fasting, when they know people are in a state of worship and in a state of dedication, where people cannot fight back. They wait. They wait for this opportunity in order to strike. And do not be surprised if those who are giving legitimacy in the Muslim world and in the Arab world today, they are telling them to wait for this opportunity. They are telling them exactly when to strike. They are busy chopping off the heads in Iraq and Syria, and at the same time, they stay quiet. If you are concerned about the well-being of the Muslims, you would leave Iraq, and you would leave Syria, and you would go to Palestine, and you would fight with your brothers and sisters there. But this reveals that what is going on in Iraq and Syria has been planned from many years before. And there is cooperation. There is global cooperation. It's not about being a conspiracy. The signs are clear. So had these criminals who are carrying out their merciless acts today, had they not found support? And how did they find support? They found support through silent approval. Where are these countries? The leaders of these countries, who they refer to as custodian of Fulan, Khadim of Fulan and Fulan, and the protector of the Ottoman Empire, and the new Nasser, and this, where are these people? Why are they quiet? Why have they stayed quiet? With their silent approval, they are giving legitimacy to those who are committing these atrocities, number one. Number two, there is military aid, and there is cooperation of intelligence. Do not think for one second that the countries which surround Palestine are not supporting the campaign and the aggression towards them. Those who have closed off their borders, those who have not allowed access of food and medicine and supplies to the people of Gaza. The other day, they were sending pictures which were more than heartbreaking, they were more than gut-wrenching. People had sent from one of these countries, they had sent food which was spoiled, food which was full of bugs and it was rotten to the people of Gaza, breaking their fast in the month of Ramadan. Can you imagine? It's not only the brutal military campaign. As a victim, they don't only suffer from the bombs and the bullets. They suffer from the silence of the Muslims. They suffer from the cooperation of the Muslims against them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran to the believers, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Cooperate in good ventures. Cooperate in benevolence. Cooperate in doing good. Support each other in doing good. And do not cooperate in the perpetration of sinful actions. Do not cooperate in the perpetration of evil. Now, one thing that we can do is that we can make our voices be heard. It is very tragic and it is very heartbreaking that we cannot help these people through physical means. No one is expected to go and help them through physical means. However, if you can financially support these people, then it is your obligation. If you can morally support these people, then it is your obligation. Let us become the voice of the voiceless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment is not only going to ask us about our prayers and about our fasting and about how many times we performed the Hajj and the Umrah and how much zakat we paid. He will ask you, what did you do when you saw children being killed, when you saw children being bombed and slaughtered and beheaded in Palestine, in Syria, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, in Nigeria, in all the Muslim countries across the globe, in non-Muslim countries as well? What did you do? Did you lend your voice? Did you lend your hand? Did you lend your wealth? Let us imagine ourselves on the day of judgment standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Would we have the nerve and the audacity, or would we have the courage to say no and go to sleep at night? Perfectly go to sleep at night. Imagine, for those of you who have children, imagine the pictures of the children which you are seeing today. Imagine if those were your children. Try to identify with these people. It's not a matter of, even if you cannot help financially, even if you cannot help physically, merely identifying with their tragedy is enough. Merely taking a stance, merely taking a conscious stance, speaking to others, being the voice for the voiceless, that is enough. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the grace of this very holy month, this sacred month, to provide relief to people all across the globe. The people of Palestine, the people of Iraq, the people of Syria, the people of Pakistan and Afghanistan and Iran and Lebanon and Africa, and all across the Muslim world, countries which we have mentioned, which we have not mentioned, wherever there is an oppressed person, wherever there is a person who is suffering from an injustice, suffering from tyranny, from dictatorship, from terrorism, from the silence of their Muslim brothers and sisters, let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring them relief in this holy month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to also have mercy on us as well in this holy month. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and since this is the last Friday of the month of Ramadan, we ask, O Allah, since this is the day of Friday, since it is a very blessed day, that by the grace of this day, hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring us relief, to bring us mercy, to bring us forgiveness. O Allah, do not hold us accountable for our silence. O Allah, do not hold us accountable for our inactivity. O Allah, do not hold us accountable and responsible, and do not make us among those who participated in the oppression of our Muslim brothers and sisters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy and forgive us in this holy month. Brothers and sisters, please raise your hands and let us recite this verse 5 times so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings relief to us and to our neighbors, to our family members, to the sick people, to the people across the globe who are in need of our help. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء 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 اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك قاضي الحاجات إنك على كل شيء قدير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Brothers and sisters, before I end, inshallah tomorrow, Saturday night, we will be holding a i'tikaf at the masjid. This is a program which is sponsored by the youth, for the youth. Inshallah, we will spend the entire night from 10:30 after the program until Fajr on Sunday morning in worship and in prayer and in discussion, inshallah. Also, please stay tuned for our email. We will be announcing what day the Eid is, inshallah, most likely on Tuesday. For those of you who will be participating the Eid, inshallah, we will be announcing what time exactly. Also, please help us from now. I'll make this announcement, that when you come on Tuesday, please be gracious, since it is a work day, to park all the way to the back, all the way to the back where the fences of the airport, so that we do not, we do not irritate our neighbors. And Zakat al-Fitrah this year is $15 per person, $15 per person. Inshallah, we will have boxes for people to pay their Zakat Fitrah, inshallah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.